good morning, that's fine. Today we're going to finish our series, Life on Mission. Life on Mission. And we're going to be emphasizing the need to pray. We need power. And the way we get power is through prayer. We need power. And so Jesus was on a mission when he came to save the world. That's what we're strictly told. And Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." His mission has become our mission. As was read just a few moments ago, Jesus gave this commission to the disciples. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so here Jesus gives the great commission to take the gospel into all the world to his disciples. And they were to give that commission to their disciples. And they were to give that commission to their disciples. Every generation is responsible for preaching the gospel. It wasn't just the apostles. If that's an apostolic commission, then nobody can be saved today because the apostles don't exist. And so Jesus meant for this to be passed along to each and every generation so that every generation could hear the good news that Jesus Christ came into the world, died on the cross, was buried, and rose from the dead 3 days later, and through him you can have life. So we have been given this mission, and we've been looking at it for several weeks now. And it's amazing how, even though we only have one job, we don't always do that one job right. Right? We've seen examples throughout the series where people had but one job, and they just didn't do a good job. You know, for example, that would be very awkward. And I don't even know how you do that. But you're given one job, and that's what you do? Wow, okay. And what about this? Bump. But the bump's like 25 feet down the road, you know? I can understand a little warning, but that's pretty good distance between there and the bump. Usually when I see bump, I think I'm going to be on a bump, not way down the road. But anyway, that's not too bad. What about this? I don't know if you can read this, but this says, never don't give up. Boy, that is really good. Never don't give up. You know, if you're going to get a tattoo, which I don't recommend you do, go to someone who's got at least a fifth grade education. That's terrible. Never don't give up. And then, what about, yeah. No regrets. No regrets. I'll bet the don't never give up had some regrets, don't you? Your tattoo guy needs to be able to spell, right? This guy is horrible. I don't know if it's the same one or not, but wow. Anyway, one job. You just have one job. You couldn't do it right. Couldn't do it right. Couldn't do it right. Two arms there. Couldn't do it right. We've been given one job. Preach the gospel. Share Jesus. How are we doing? How are we doing? Remember, we need to ask two questions every day. What business are we in? And how's business? That's an important question. How's business? You have but one job. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth." And so Jesus says, "I want you to be my witnesses." Share the gospel with folks who are lost. And we saw these steps that we need to take. You know, number one is who? Who has God laid on your heart? Who's the person or persons that God has laid on your heart that you want to reach out to? And then once you do that, you know, once you have that person identified, then you need to connect. You need to connect. You need to get with this person. And we talked about how throw a party. You know, for example, that's what Matthew did for Jesus. And he threw a party and all the tax collectors came together. There was a whole bunch of them there. And so we need to throw a party. We need to invite people over for dinner. We need to, you know, take them out for a cup of coffee, whatever. Just get together with them. And then, you know, look for ways you can serve. Look for ways you can help them. And then you eventually get around to, you got to talk. You got to talk. You have to share the gospel. At some point, you got to use words. Because only words will get the job done. Nobody will go to heaven because of your lifestyle. Now, that may be the thing that catches someone's attention and gives you the opportunity to share the gospel, but your lifestyle doesn't save anybody, and nor does mine. It's the gospel that saves. And so today we're bringing this all together, and we're emphasizing the importance of prayer. Prayer. Because prayer is where the power is at. Prayer is how we connect with God. Prayer is how we call upon God to work in our lives. And God does in an amazing way. And so God in Acts, you know, he's given this push. Go, go, go and preach the gospel. And whenever God sends someone on a mission, he always gives them the power to carry out that mission, whatever that is. You know, and the way we tap into power to take the gospel into the world is through prayer. Prayer is how we accomplish this. You read the book of Acts. They were a praying group of people. They were constantly praying. And how Paul emphasizes over and over and over again in his writings the need to pray when it comes to evangelism. I'm just going to read this to you. This comes from Colossians 4. I'm going to begin at verse 2. Paul says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, and that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Notice how important prayer is when it comes to evangelism. So when God gives a commission to do whatever it is for him, he always gives you the necessary power and ability to carry out that mission, whatever it is. And I can't think of a time when we needed the power of God more in our lives than today. You see, there's been a population explosion in the last 100 years. We're talking about 8 billion people walking planet Earth. That's a whole lot of folks. That's a whole lot of folks walking this Earth. Why should we pray? 8 billion reasons why we should pray. 8 billion reasons why we need to pray. You see, right now, maybe you need to use that power to work on a person that you're trying to reach for Jesus. Look here in Matthew chapter 9. I love this text, and I refer to it a lot when it comes to evangelism. I do a sermon titled Prayer Evangelism, and it's just how prayer is used in evangelism in the Bible. But anyway, here, verse 35. And Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. That was a burden on his heart when he saw that. Then look at verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. And so Jesus says, we have a worker problem. We don't have enough workers to do the task of sharing the gospel with 8 billion people. So what do we do, Lord? We pray. we pray and say, God, send laborers into the harvest. And guess what God will do? He will send laborers into the harvest. He will do just that. This is the least that we can do when it comes to evangelism. Maybe you've not shared the gospel with anybody, have no desire to share it with anybody. Well, the least you can do is pray that God will send somebody out there who will share the gospel with somebody. That's the least that we can do. And we need to do this because the only way we can rectify the problem of not having enough disciples to preach the gospel is to pray that God will send more into the world. Ask God to do that. It's His harvest. It's not ours. It's God's harvest. So ask Him. And the power will come when we pray. When we pray and we ask God, God, give me the power. Give me the power. Give me the ability to share the gospel. Help me to retain scripture. Help me to remember passages in the Bible that would be helpful in sharing the gospel. So the illustration, where a guy was cutting wood and he was just exhausted and he wasn't really getting much work done. It was taking him all day just to bust up a few logs. And a friend of his said, well, I've got a new amazing chainsaw. This will help you. You know, you'll be able to buzz up wood in a hurry with this thing. And so he loaned it to his friend, and a couple of days later he said, well, how's that chainsaw working? He said, it's not working very well. He said, I can't get any more cut with that than I did with the other. He said, what do you mean? And he said, went over, and the guy was taking a chainsaw, and he was doing like this on the logs. And he's like, no, that's not how you use a chainsaw. You're not using the power. You need the power. And then when he whipped it and turned the power on, he's able to buzz through those logs. And so it's the same thing. You try to do evangelism without power, it ain't going to work. Try to do evangelism without God, it's not going to work. Try it. It won't work. You need power. And the way you get power is through prayer. You know, Jesus is the prime example of this. And you see this, for example, in the Gospel of Mark. Look at Mark chapter 1 real quick. Just look at one little day in the life of Jesus. One little day in the life of Jesus. So in John, well, chapter 1 here, you have Jesus is baptized. Satan tempts him. Then you move on and listen, it says, and Jesus begins his Galilean ministry. And then he calls the disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, talking with them about the gospel. And then he cast out an unclean spirit. And then he healed Peter's mother-in-law. And then he healed after the Sabbath sunset. And then he's continuing to preach in Galilee and cleansing lepers. I mean, as you move through Mark, he's just one event after another, after another, after another. How does he do all of that? Of course, he's God. He's Christ, right? But he was also a man. He was a man. He was God in the flesh. And he got tired like we get tired. He got hungry like we get hungry. And I'm sure he was exhausted by the end of the day doing all the things that he's doing. Well, how do you do that? It's through prayer. Through prayer. Look at verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. And Jesus did this a lot. Many times we read in the Gospels where Jesus went out before morning and he prayed. He always went to that solitary place. Listen, if Jesus felt the need to pray, where does that leave us? Right? I mean, if he's God in the flesh, felt the need to be connected to the Father for his ministry, where does that leave us? Are we going to do it without prayer? I don't think so. I don't think so. Let me ask you this. If God pulled his power from your life right now, would you notice? Would you notice it was gone? Do we even know we have it? You see, prayer gives us the power to do the impossible. And that's why Jesus said to pray. We can do the impossible through prayer. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, or chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. Paul says, I plant, this is a reference to evangelism, I plant it, he says, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but God who causes the growth. It's God who causes it. It's not us. We can't cause growth. I can't convert anybody. I can't save anybody. All I can do is share the gospel with you. And the power is in the gospel. That's what Paul says. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. The power is in the gospel. If we will simply preach that message, which some people think is just too simple and it won't work. It's powerful. And when it gets in a human heart, it explodes. That's what it does. It explodes. And people you thought would never come to faith in Christ, come to faith in Christ. It's the gospel. The gospel says, all we do is plant and water, but God gives the increase. It's God. You see, prayer changes things in our lives. So what does prayer change? Number one, it changes you. Prayer changes you. I change through prayer. Because it is through prayer that I'm able to eradicate sin from my life. The way that I take on the likeness of Jesus, the way that I lay aside the old man and put on the new man. I mean, think about it. That prayer does this. It's prayer. It's prayer. That's how you accomplish. I'm not able to just put aside the old self. If I could, I wouldn't need Jesus. And you wouldn't need Jesus. Just go do it. But we can't do it. Prayer changes us. And by the way, when you see God work mightily in people's lives, it changes you. Because you know God has worked mightily in that person's life. You know it. And it changes you. It changes you. Changes the way you think about God. Yeah, it does. It changes you. So prayer changes us. But prayer also changes others. Prayer changes others. So others are changed. You know, Paul, you know, working with Lydia in Acts 16, the Bible says that the Lord opened Lydia's heart to the gospel. And that's why we need to pray. We need to pray that God will open hearts and that God will open doors, because doors open that wouldn't open any other way. If it weren't for the prayer, that door would not open. God opened that door. We need to see how God is involved in evangelism, and people will see how their lives are being radically changed through the gospel. Praying for people and watching change occur in other people's lives is an amazing thing. To see a marriage that was completely, you know, fell apart, and now it's restored. And it's a beautiful thing, and it's an example of what marriage should be. God did that. God did that. Prayer was the reason that relationship was healed. It's prayer, God. And then, you know, on the day of Pentecost, what were the disciples doing before the Spirit came? Praying. They were praying. That's what they were doing. They were praying. And that day there were 3,000 people that were saved. So, in conclusion, the action step is pray. 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 Make that a part. So we need to, you know, connect with people. We need to throw a party. Get together with those people. Serve them in some way or multiple ways. Who knows? But God uses service to open doors and to provide opportunities for us. It's powerful. And so, and then we need to we need to talk. And along the way, we talked about the need to grow. And so through this whole process, though, I believe we get this process down, we will grow. We will have grown immensely if we just get these five things that we've looked at in just this short little series. Getting life on mission, getting our life on track with what God wills for our lives. And so maybe today you're struggling. You're in a place where you just feel like my life is not where it needs to be. I know my life is in a bad place. I'm not where God wants me to be. And I'm not sure how I can get where I need to be. But I know that I need help. I hope today you'll come and you'll ask for help, because God will give you that help. God will provide an answer for you. And for you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're going to sing a song. And as we sing this song, we just want to invite you to come forward. If you'll come forward, we will share with you the gospel. It's a simple little message. But just in simplicity, the Bible says we've all sinned. Our sin has separated us from God. The reason that Christ came was to die so that that separation that exists because of sin would no longer exist. That sin would be removed and a relationship with God would be restored. That happens through the gospel. And so this morning, if you've never responded to the gospel, we hope and pray that you'll do that today. Or if you have any other need, make it known as we stand together and sing.